All right, welcome to Kitchen Open Late, the podcast from the back of the house. I'm Chef Frosty.
And I'm Chef Kwanzaa.
So one of the things we like to discuss here on the podcast is the nature of the restaurant industry as a whole and why it's struggling to find employees.
Yeah.
I think I've got some answers, but I don't know everything.
Right.
So we're just going to discuss today why managers so enjoy punishing their employees.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that the go-to solution for any industry, honestly?
Yeah.
It's odd to me that that is, like, not only acceptable, but the way we do things.
Mm.
You should be afraid of losing your job
yeah.
for just randomly upsetting your boss.
Okay. No. No, you shouldn't be afraid of
it. You shouldn't, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, that is how it works out. I can understand you being afraid of maybe randomly losing your job if you're a klutz like me.
See, even then, I don't think you should lose your job.
Sure.
I've had several accidents, and that's unfortunate,
right.
But, like, okay, accidents happen.
I mean, when I when we first started working together,
yes,
you guys had the job opening joke.
I still say that. So anytime
me too.
You're in the kitchen, just working silently, and all of a sudden you just hear the cling, 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 cling of silverware. Job opening.
Job opening.
You hear a plate break. Job opening. A bottle.
So I was definitely nervous working with you, right?
Sure.
Just because, you know, we have a friendship. Your dad's the head chef here.
Yep.
You're recommending me to be there. I'm like, okay, I need to perform.
Right.
I need to perform. I've only ever, I think at that point, worked at Wendy's at a fast food place.
You worked at the club.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
That was...
Oh, gotcha. The first time.
My
yeah.
first real restaurant I'm right. working at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I break my first plate. And I'm like, oh, no. And then I just hear screaming, like, by all three of you.
Yep.
Yep. Job opening. I'm like, oh, no. No, really? Fuck. Fuck. And I was like, no, we're just joking. We're just joking. But throughout that day, I think I broke, like, three or four more plates.
Yeah, probably. Well, that's the problem right there. When you're nervous,
mm-hmm.
you tend to make mistakes.
Yeah.
If you're... You could be a great singer in the shower.
Mm.
Suddenly put you in front of 200 people. It's going to be harder because everyone's watching you.
Right.
And most of those people, you feel at least, are watching for you to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're... Like, I mean, that's the feeling everyone has most of the time in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Everyone's pretty cool, but there's that one person, the one manager.
Yeah.
When they walk by, your asshole puckers... And everyone, like, has to act.
Yeah.
We all of a sudden become Denzel Washington. Like, oh, let me find something to do.
Right, exactly.
Where's my task? Boss, I'm so needing your direction right now. Oh, thank God you're here.
And just, like, everything's just gets worse and just so much harder to do.
Right.
And it's like, you don't understand that you are lowering performance.
Yeah. My boss is out of town right now. Mm. Not my father, who I work with, but the owner of the establishment. He's out of town. His wife, the GM, which, conflict, but whatever. Every fucking restaurant, owner's wife has some role that isn't technically important, that
right.
is technically important.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why is she filling this role? Why is she the GM? Why is she HR?
Right, yeah, she definitely shouldn't be HR.
I feel like there's a lot, isn't sleeping with your boss frowned upon? But whatever.
Right, but whatever.
But yeah, I mean, so the guy I work for now is out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's still working fine. I mean, sure, the front house slacks off a lot.
Right.
Because kitchen just can't.
Yeah.
You just have tasks.
That you have to complete in this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of, like, loophole wiggle room for a lot of things we have to get done.
And you can't blame the kitchen if you're the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
Front house can blame the kitchen for everything.
For everything. Like, oh, I don't know what's taking this order so long. Oh, shit, I forgot to put this
yep.
in.
Yep. Oh, whoops.
Oh,
stupid
whoops.
Kitchen.
Right, stupid kitchen.
But the point is, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's just working fine. That's
right.
always been my argument.
Right.
We don't need someone just... I mean, but the counter-argument, of course, would be...
Mm-hmm.
Well, that they're only acting that way because they know if I came back and things were upset, or things were wrong, I'd be upset.
Right. Why is it that's looming over? It's always like, oh, I don't want to make him mad. I don't want to piss him off. Like, I don't. We go back to how we open this up, like
sure.
being afraid.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's because people are just. That's what you're used to when you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because your parents can kind of get away with that.
Yeah.
It's my house, my rules. You don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do something that's bad, it needs to stick.
Yeah.
So when you become in charge of other people, that's just the default, I think, for most. But it's how people raise their pets in a certain way.
Right.
They raise their children in a certain way. People who are beneath them in some way,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, punishment is the default.
I feel that it should be more like you want to strive to. So the way the system is now that you're saying.
Yes.
If you do something wrong, then you get punishment.
Sure.
So you strive to not make mistakes. You strive to avoid the punishment.
Right.
I feel like it would be better if it was a reward system or a award system.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like prison. The American incarceration system is one of the worst in the world.
Mm.
It's mostly privatized. People make money off of it. And it's just, it's, you know. I also, there's a certain amount of, like, schadenfreude where it's like, I enjoy watching people suffer.
Sure, sure. There is that in humans sometimes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural place to be. I've suffered.
Mm.
You're doing tasks that I've suffered for.
Yeah.
You should have to suffer for those.
I understand.
I mean, it's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle.
My boss treated me this way.
Yeah.
I have produced enough results to be in the position where I'm now your boss.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, this method is proven to work. It's proven by every industry ever, forever. So we just keep using it.
Yeah. I was like, well, this works. This is how we do things. But you're not willing to change and do things that might actually be better?
Well, what's weird to me is the employee is always the person who's in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, at what point does the business owner have to face the consequences of their actions?
Bro, in my experience right now, they don't.
Right.
He's just never punished.
Right, because that's the nature of the problem right there. That goes back to what I was just saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's never punished,
yeah.
And that upsets you.
Yeah. It's because he just keeps doing this. Yes, I understand that.
So if you're the business owner,
you should...
Wouldn't it make sense for you... My employee keeps doing this thing that upsets mm-hmm. me. I wish he would be punished.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have that power. Hooray.
Oh, I have that power. But that should just be like a preventative measure. But you shouldn't be striving to... Like, it becomes... You become goal-oriented to not get in trouble, not goal-oriented to make things better.
Sure.
That's where I feel like it is with these two different methods.
The way I feel like it happened is, I feel like back in the day, there was a certain amount of like, okay, everything's fine, but like, hey, you crossed this one line,
mm-hmm.
now we have to give you a punishment. But it seems so weird to me, having been an employer
yeah.
of people, the idea of, I will be punishing you for this... Like, you did a net evil of some kind,
uh-huh.
or, like, you really broke a rule that matters.
Right.
If you're a firefighter and you're just throwing gasoline on the fire,
sure.
that's worth punishment.
That is worth some type of punishment, yes.
If you're a firefighter and you trip,
mm-hmm.
but you get up and go fight the fire again,
right.
you're not. It's not worth punishment.
Right.
But in so many industries, unimportant industries, it feels like that.
Yeah.
I made one mistake.
And now I'm...
or not even a mistake. So one of the last places I worked, it was around New Year's Eve, about 2 months before New Year's. And I needed New Year's off because we had prior plans.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, I'm willing to work whenever. I don't really need anything. The only thing I need is New Year's Eve off,
yeah.
which is a Saturday. But I need that. It's 2 months from now.
Right.
I trust you can make that work. Well, that's my gift to you then, but you can't really be asking for time off other than that. Like, what?
What?
That makes no sense.
No.
And again, the tone, and this could just be me,
mm-hmm.
but I feel, anecdotally, that the tone of so many owners and managers mm-hmm. is that, well, this is upsetting me. You know what happens when I get upset?
Right.
People get fired.
Right. Yeah, your job is on... There's no sense of job security in
no. The, what's the number one quote? Industry. If you don't like working here, you can go work somewhere
yeah.
else.
Yep. Yep. I mean, and that's where I'm kind of in a unique situation right now.
Sure.
Because he could fire me. He could. I don't think he can replace me.
And the problem becomes... So, if an employee does a bad thing...
Yeah.
They're going to get punished. If an owner does a bad thing... The idea is that they'll be punished by losing their business if they're not performing at a certain rate.
Right.
As our former president taught us, you can just run businesses into the ground and make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really feel like punishment.
No.
If you can run your business in the ground, file for bankruptcy, come out the other side completely fine, but your employees now don't have a job, are struggling to look for a job, and weren't getting paid well enough in the first place to live off of that job.
Right.
I don't understand where the punishment comes in.
Yeah, at what point were you punished during that entire debacle that you were, you know, a part of?
If an employee gets fired, that shows up on their record.
Yeah.
They have to explain that at their next job. If you run your business in the ground, file for bankruptcy, and then just go get a job that doesn't relate to anything, you can spin that or anything. No one's going to... AI fucking sold. You can lie.
Right.
You can just lie.
Or you can blame it all on your employees.
Or you can start a new business.
Right, yeah. And just do it all over again.
So it doesn't. So it doesn't feel like there's any punishment for the owner, but it feels like there's a lot of punishment directed at the employees.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't always feel like that punishment is warranted. Any right. punishment is warranted.
I do believe there should be some type of consequence for your actions. If you're doing something that's constantly wrong, like you were saying earlier, if you keep doing a bad thing, like, oh, this is making me upset, or that's bringing the business down, or that should be corrected somehow.
Yeah. That's the nature of my argument, is what exactly are you saying is a bad thing, business owner? You're the owner. Mm-hmm. You get to decide what happens in your business.
Yep.
Those are all your rights. That's fine. But punishment should be doled out to correct a problem.
Yes.
And then work should be done to make sure that problem doesn't happen again.
Oh, yeah.
If all you ever do is punish people and they don't really understand what they're doing incorrectly, then you're not really doing anything. You're wasting a lot of time and energy, and you're not getting any results for it.
Right. And you just keep bitching about this thing that you keep doing wrong. You're cutting the chicken wrong. The chicken's wrong. I'm upset that the chicken is it's wrong. Or, yeah, no. You don't even say you're cutting chicken. Oh, you did this wrong. Like, well, what did I do wrong? What exactly is it that you want me to have happen?
But then you're viewed as being difficult.
Yes.
You like, oh, my God, really? You need me to show you exactly what to do? Yes. You're the one who's punishing me for not doing it correctly.
Right. You don't like the way it's being done.
Yes.
Let me know how you want it done.
Not only let me know, show me exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not portioning the turkey right. It weighs too much. How much do you want it to weigh? Well, it just weighs too much. What?
What?
Between 4 and 5 ounces. Okay, how about this? Tell me the exact amount you want it to weigh. And I'll make it weigh that every time. You're going to pay me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at places where it's like the burgers must weigh this amount.
Right.
And you spend 20 minutes on one burger, because the scale has got to be fucking just right.
Doof.
And ground beef is not like water droplets.
Yeah, no.
Each piece weighs its own amount. I got to find the one piece that's 0.01 ounces. Jesus Christ. Get off my ass. But again, if I do it wrong, I'll be punished.
Then, yep. Then you'll be punished.
Yep.
But you won't be rewarded for doing it right.
Right. I mean, like, again, the argument would be the reward is you get to keep this job.
Yes. Yes, you will continue to get to stay here.
Or a pizza party, I guess.
Or a pizza party, yeah.
I mean, in the same way that people, that I'm asking, what is incorrect?
Mm-hmm.
The same question should be asked of the employees.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is a fair compensation? What is a good enough reward?
At the very least.
Sure.
I don't need this all the time, but I'd like at least some type of recognition.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
Thank you goes a long way.
Go very far.
I would not have resigned from the bar if the owner would have just once a week said, you know, this is a lot of work I'm putting on you guys. I really appreciate how hard you're working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to change the hours against your will and make you stay here extra late on your day off because I just decided to.
Right.
For those who don't know, one time I was working at the bar, and we were closed on Sundays and Mondays.
Yep.
And I still went in on those days to prep and do shit, because there was only two cooks there.
Right.
No dishwashers, no prep guys, two people in the kitchen.
Yep. Two back of the house, period.
So I'd go in to clean and prep and write my order on Sundays usually.
Yeah.
Well, the owner wanted to make more money, so he wanted to be open on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
I said, fine, I will do Sunday brunch.
Yeah.
And then we can do some really easy, like pizzas or something.
Yeah.
For nighttime, because we need to serve food.
Yeah.
Cool. Just something real easy that the servers can do. I'll come in. I'll do my normal stuff.
Bro.
I'll even clean and whatnot. And we'll have a very limited menu.
Yes.
And we'll be open from like 11 o'clock until like 3.
Right.
9 o'clock that night. I'm like, yo, we've been doing the full menu all day. And I want to go home, man. I don't have days off.
Right.
This is not cool. You're changing the rules.
Yeah.
And then I get bitched at because I'm being difficult.
Yep.
I'm not willing to work hard. Mm-hmm. I'm just so lazy. I'm just so entitled.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you changed the rules.
Right.
But you're in the position to punish me based on the new rules.
Right. That you changed.
That you changed in the moment without me consenting to it.
Nope.
And there's just so no laws to protect workers.
No, not really. Not really.
Yes, I understand. Everyone is a shithead.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, employers. Everyone is a shithead. That includes you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say at least 60% of business owners are stupid shitheads who don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
If at least 60% of employees are that.
Yes, I would agree.
So
I absolutely agree.
If the rules are in place that you should be punishing your employees because they fuck up because everyone's so stupid, then there should be rules in place to punish the owners because they're so stupid.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? A situation like that, was there not even like a, you know, I understand that I changed the rules up on you. You had to do a little bit more or a lot more than we discussed.
My business,
thank
my rules.
You. I appreciate you sticking it out.
My business, my rules.
No, yeah. That's
I'm translating what it actually
My business, my rules.
I have to interpret what he's saying as thank you so much. my business, my rules, asshole. You're welcome, boss. Oh, right. I'm so grateful to be here.
So grateful. I'm glad I got to. Oh, no. I was going to say I'm glad I got to get paid a little extra, but at that time you did not.
I was on salary.
You were on salary.
I can work as many hours as he wants to make me work with zero extra. Even again, not even a thank you.
Not even a thank you. Yeah, that's rough.
Not even a, wow, we got busier than I expected. I'll help you do some dishes.
Right. Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Just, man, I appreciate you as an employee. So, one of my favorite books, what's it called? Break All the Rules. First, Break All the Rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book by Gallup that basically they looked at some of the top performing companies in the world. Some were restaurants, some were whatever. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what are the commonalities amongst these things? These businesses. Why do they succeed? Why do their management teams succeed? How do they produce good results?
Yeah.
The biggest takeaway for me was that you don't quit your job. You quit your boss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And all these trigger-happy, ready to just punish your bosses are one of the big reasons that the restaurant industry is struggling so much.
Yeah.
If you say to people, if you don't like it here, go work somewhere else, eventually they will follow your advice.
Yeah, and they will go work somewhere else.
And now everywhere's got a help wanted sign.
Yeah, exactly. I will say they're... I will definitely agree that... More times than not that I've quit my job, I've been quitting my boss.
Yes.
But there are times where I come back to that establishment.
Yep.
And like, oh, you miss being here? I was like, I miss you guys.
Yeah.
I don't miss working here. I do miss you guys, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to feel like you're a part of something.
Mm-hmm.
You need... I mean, one of the big things in the book, they have 12 things that are basically 12 questions that are asked of employees. I have such trouble mixing those up today. Employees are asked 12 questions.
Yeah.
If they get high scores on all 12, the business tends to also be doing well in correlation. One of them is, do you have a best friend at work? Or do you feel like you're a part of a team?
Right.
Or has anyone talked to you about the potential of growth in this company? All of those things are big factors. Not only for job security, but for the benefit of the company.
You're right.
None of them are, do you feel like you're threatened every day?
Right, do you feel like you could lose your job at any moment's notice?
How much do you deserve to be fired?
If you happen to have a slip-up or an accident, do you hide it or you let your boss know?
So at the place I work at right now, we have a you break it, you buy it policy.
Oh, straight up?
Yep. He went from making the servers do push-ups...
To
now just like, well, you have to pay for it.
Huh.
Because someone dropped a fork down the garbage disposal one time.
Oh, fuck.
And the fork, I guess it cost $400 or some shit. I don't know.
To fix the garbage disposal?
I guess the fork itself was expensive, but also the garbage disposal needed to be fixed.
Okay.
And so we keep a bent, mangled fork above the dish tank now just as a reminder.
That's funny.
And every time the girls drop something, the look of terror... Because plates are not cheap.
Right.
Even a $7 plate.
That's $7.
You drop a whole tray of those?
Yeah.
How is that legal?
Is it?
I mean, again, there's not a lot of laws happening. To protect
employees. It's happening, so.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's legal, it's a rule in that establishment now.
I mean, technically speaking, it would not be hard. So, One time I was working somewhere, who knows where it is, and I dropped 2 beef tenderloins onto my foot in the pan. It was so hot, and it was just, I did not expect it. The cutting board was bent, so they just slid off.
Right.
Accident. I reacted to the pain, and then immediately was like, oh shit, I'm so afraid, because these cost more than like 4 paychecks for me.
Oof.
I mean, I can't afford to pay for these to go away. Things, it was an accident.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm in trouble now.
Right.
Because of an accident.
Yeah.
How is that, like, a healthy, good place for your business to be? And how are you as a person just like, yep, I'm just totally healthy and great mentally?
I was just going to say mental health. That's why mental health is on decline
right now. Yeah, here. No shit.
Yeah. It's going downhill because you're anxious at work all the time. You're just pent up all the time.
Well, I mean, I get, I mean, the owners probably feel the same way. They have the pressure of owning the business.
Yes. Yes,
that's a challenge. That's not, I'm not trying to diminish that.
No, not at all. I would definitely agree that they definitely have some pressure, but there's a lot of times, and I don't know if there's a correct solution, but to me, I feel as an employee, there's a lot of times where we're getting blamed for things and there's no real team discussion. Like even during like a team meeting, like, oh, we're going to have a team meeting. No, it's just you chewing us out.
Right.
Like, well, there's no discussion happening here. Like, you're not exactly telling me any solutions to whatever these problems are that you're presenting.
Also, if you're presenting them in an angry way, that makes people feel defensive. I mean, just basic human psychology is something all managers and owners should understand. And I think, to your question, what is the proper way to move forward? I think just an understanding of people make bad decisions when they are afraid is just kind of a simple way of looking at things. I mean, if you assume good intentions and you see someone making a bad choice in your mind or something that you want to punish them for, it's better, in my opinion, to take a step back. Where are they coming from?
Right.
What could be motivating them to do this?
Right.
If I'm afraid of always losing my job, but I don't know what I'm going to be punished for, it makes me afraid all the time and a lot more likely to slip up because I'm just so self-conscious. At very least, it makes me work less hard because I'm focusing mental energy on what am I doing wrong.
Right. And you slow down a lot, too.
Right.
Like, oh, I want to make sure everything's nice and perfect. I can't, nothing can't be out of its place. I want to, as a personal note, I need to go back to this meeting thing and the discussion. Like, I had a team meeting recently, and at a certain point, we were given the opportunity to bring up ideas.
Yep.
I do not feel like a team player when I bring up an idea and it's just immediately shut it down.
Right.
And there's no discussion with, like, well, no, I don't think that's going to work. Well, here goes a couple of steps right here a whole worksheet of how it will be cheaper, how it will help the employees, how it will help the business, how you can make extra money.
Sure.
We can be open later, this, that, and the other. It's like, I don't like this idea.
Yeah.
So we're not going to use it.
Yeah.
My business, my rules.
I mean, that's the thing, but I've always wondered what qualifies just because you opened a business, what qualifies you to run the business? If the business is not doing well, fine, blame your employees, that's great, but if it continues to not do well, at some point you should look at yourself and ask,
what are you doing?
What am I doing incorrectly? Yeah. What could be better? Right. Are there different ways? Times change. Mm-hmm. Running a restaurant like it's 1990 in 2024 doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
There's, all the new developments, DoorDash, like we talked about, all those things exist and they have to be accounted for.
You can even bring trends into this. So it's like, well, are you selling stuff that no one wants?
Veganism is way more popular now than it's ever been.
Right.
The carnivore diet, gluten-free. Yes. Who was gluten-free 20 years ago?
I knew some people that had gluten allergies.
But, like, not
it
to the point
a whole
where
bunch of gluten-free shit going
generic out. Restaurants are like, I must have gluten-free
right,
pizza dough.
Exactly, no.
Or a gluten-free bun. Or a Beyond Burger. Like, no, those are just different things. So, how a business works needs to also be different.
Oh, yeah.
I personally feel like that's one of the big problems in the restaurant industry, certainly. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the other problem I have is, why do business owners hate questions so much? My father said to me when I started working for him, he's like, you need to behave yourself. I'm like, I understand I'm a lot. But what exactly do you mean? And he was like, that, right there. I'm like, he was like, you just run wild asking questions all the time. I'm like,
he just went wild asking questions.
Well, you see, sometimes things are vague or ambiguous. Uh-huh. And so it's good to ask a question and get that clarity.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, because I said so only works when you're 8 and you live in your parents' house and you don't have a concept of the world.
Exactly.
You can say because I said so because you're a business owner, but if someone's coming to you, in that moment you're a teacher.
Yep.
They're asking, why does this happen?
Exactly.
If you're making a cake and you mix the ingredients together and then you bake it 2 days later, the cake is not going to come out properly.
Right.
Because the baking soda and all this other shit interacts with the wet ingredients in a particular way, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, found that out the hard way.
Yeah. Now, if you could just ask that, hey, why should I keep these separate?
Yes.
Oh, well, here's why. Oh, well, I can maybe apply that to other shit.
Exactly. Like, understanding the why will help me to not make more, you know, mistakes.
Yes.
And then I won't be as worried. And if I can understand the reasons behind you, the reasons behind why you want me to do the things your way.
Yep.
Please just tell me. Explain that to me so I can apply that to everything.
One time I was working somewhere, and my boss told me to cut 4 turkeys. I said, okay. You know you got some in there, right? Like, you got a bunch already cut. You know, I know what I got. I want 4 fucking turkeys. Okay.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we had 8 turkeys cut because someone had already cut the 4 turkeys that he wanted to have cut. Someone just saw it on the prep list and did it.
And did it.
Then he's mad at me. Why didn't you tell me we had 4 turkeys cut? I said you had some in there. You didn't say how much. You said you knew.
Right. Yeah, you said you knew. You said you had this information. I tried to question you, but I got backlash.
Yep.
All right, I'll just do it your way.
Then you get another boss come up to, hey, next time, make sure you say something, because a lot of this is going to get thrown out now. What did I do?
Why didn't you check, boss?
Right.
Why didn't you check and see what you had around?
Right.
Before you gave me a task to do more things.
Well, I mean, that's the problem is, I think there is a certain amount of, once you climb the ladder, you're going to be working harder. Mm. If you're the head chef, I worked harder than you did when I was in charge.
Absolutely.
And that's not me bragging, that's just a thing.
No, it's just facts.
I'm feeling the pressure. Everyone's feeling more and more pressure.
Yep.
And that just makes them act. I mean, again, my boss. Shit, now we have all this product. That's the food costs I got to worry about. That might cost us more money. That might be your raise. Blah, 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 blah. Right. All the things, all the fears that go through your head. But certain people have the ability to alleviate those fears, and they're just choosing to make them worse. Mm-mm. They're choosing to take a person's fear and exploit it to keep them in line.
Right.
I can tell you're afraid of losing your job. I will use that.
Yep. I'm going to have you do... I'm going to suggest that maybe you do a couple of tasks that might be a little much.
Yeah.
But you can't really say no because you need this.
Everyone offers something different. Mm. I understand. I really, really do. If you need 3 or 4 guys who are just rock stars on the line, and you only get people who are good at making plate designs or have no line experience, yes, that's much tougher. That's part of your job, boss.
Yeah, boss.
To train people and teach them and keep them on your staff.
And you should be aware of most things that are happening within your business. You should have some understanding of what's going on. You don't need to know everything, every little detail. I get that. That's why you hire other people.
Right.
But if something happens, I feel like you should have enough knowledge about your own business to help out
punishment is just such the easy answer that it's just lazy and ineffectual. I mean, it is, ultimately.
Like you said, it's easy.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the natural... Again, just think. You're angry.
Yep.
Somebody did something that you feel caused that anger.
Yep.
The natural response is to lash out at that person. One time you helped me move.
Mm-hmm.
I locked my keys in the U-Haul.
Mm-hmm.
And I lashed out at you in anger because I had been awake for 3 days and hadn't eaten a lot.
Yeah.
And I was stressed and I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many times admitted to you, this is what happened and I feel badly about it. Because I've got time now to calm down. And that's really what people need.
Yeah, that's true.
In those situations, when someone fucks up, they are afraid. And then having you come in and be in their face just makes them more afraid. And when you back a dog into a corner and just whipping on it, eventually he will bite you.
Yeah.
That's not the dog's fault.
No, right. Oh, God, this dog is so aggressive.
Right.
Yeah, no. And think about the you know, the steps that it took to get to this place.
Right.
And how at one point you could have just pivoted and changed the entire situation for the better. Like you said, let's say that you make an you cause something to happen. You have an accident. Mm-hmm. You fuck something up. You're panicking already.
Right.
Like, oh shit, oh shit. So now if the boss comes and storms in and starts yelling at you for messing up something, that makes the whole situation worse.
Yes.
If he comes in calmer and is like, okay, what happened? Why did this happen? Like, what did you do to make this mistake?
Sure.
Okay, this is where, let's try and fix that.
Right.
Let's, like, re-sew this.
Well, this podcast is actually a good example.
Mm.
So, not every time we sit down to do it, am I 100% like, just, yep, I feel like I can just be on and energetic and fun. Or just really talk about this at length. Sure. I don't always feel that in my heart.
Mm.
And there's a lot of times where it's like the first 5 minutes, I'm like, oh shit, I'm fucking up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just have that within me.
Yes.
And once you just kind of like, okay, it will be fine. Everything will work out. Things are moving in the correct direction. Things are going how they're supposed to. It'll be okay. I might have fucked up once or twice, but I can just get past that.
Right.
Once you do that, it's a lot easier just to keep moving and just stop thinking about it.
Right, you just kind of slide into the flow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So just keeping people in that constant state keeps them from achieving the flow, which keeps them from doing the job, which keeps them punished.
Yeah,
It's a stupid, bad cycle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big fan of, you and I have been there. I like to say I practice what I preach.
Hmm.
You and I have been in situations where you've done something that I didn't love.
Yep.
And we've talked about it afterwards.
Yes.
Like, hey, I didn't love this. Here's why.
Right.
And you're like, on more than one occasion, we wanted to rearrange the kitchen.
Right.
I don't love that because I like everything exactly where I want it to be.
Very true.
But if you can explain to me why it makes sense and is beneficial, I'm super open to fixing it.
That's very true. I do remember one distinct time where we moved. Like, the biggest move is we moved the chips from one side to the other.
Yes.
And you were, again, not happy about that.
No, I was really not.
Really not. So we moved it back.
Yep.
And then later on, you're like, I understand why you put it over here.
Yeah.
Maybe we could redesign it. I'd just rather you talk to me about it first.
Right.
Instead of just, you know, moving stuff. But you were willing to listen and understand and, you know, look at it from another point of view.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this wasn't such a bad thing.
No, I mean, so, you know, when I walk in, because I'm very scatterbrained.
Yeah.
And as a chef, especially, you want to be able to touch things without looking at them.
Yes.
So to walk in and like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I can't touch these without looking at them. Yeah. Why was this decision made?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural to be like, okay, this is my space.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking with my space without any permission or right to do that.
Right.
But again, I am aware enough to understand I get angry.
Yeah.
And so I should not do that. They did this for a reason.
Yeah.
There's nobody just wakes up and decides to just do stupid shit. Even if they don't know why they're doing it, there is a reason they're doing it.
Yeah, there's some reason behind it.
Even if it's as simple as because I just felt like it in a moment, that's fine. But most people don't behave that way in my experience.
Yeah, and I definitely was doing it. I was like, oh, part of the reason why I did it without talking to you, because I wanted it to be like a surprise.
Right.
Look, I made things more efficient for you.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, I hate surprises.
Yeah.
Every girlfriend I've ever had who's been like, I've got a surprise for your birthday. Like, what the fuck is it? Tell me now. Who's dead? What's going on? I hate you. And then she's murdered and it's not.
You know, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. Come on, man.
No surprises.
No surprises. I like known factors. I like understandable quantities.
I think being yelled at is a punishment. For me, anyways.
I mean, I've never I get angry when you yell at me.
Hmm.
As any listeners out there who might be curious, I enjoy a debate.
Yeah.
If you're going to say to me, what you're doing is wrong, I'm going to in turn ask, what about it constitutes the definition of wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just unhappy? Because that's a conversation we can have, boss. If you're unhappy with this, cool, but sometimes you just make bad decisions. And you're just going to be unhappy because you own a business.
Right.
And that's life.
Right.
But if it's, like, truly wrong and in some way actually hurting something, fine. Yeah, okay, I'll be wrong. If it's not legitimately on a moral fucking level wrong, no, it's not wrong.
No.
You're just feeling a way. Right. And that's cool, too. But let's discuss that, because it's not based in anything that's real. Mm. It's based in how you feel. And that's a perception, and perceptions change.
And it can be something as simple as, well, I cut the tomatoes like this.
Yes.
You're cutting the tomatoes like this.
Yep.
You're still ending up with the same thing that I'm ending up with, but I don't like the way you're doing that.
Right.
So you're wrong.
Right. That's most of the time. Yeah. I mean, I've worked at places where it's like you must do a 1/4-inch dice on every tomato. It's got it. Like, they'll measure that shit. And it's like, one, this is a huge waste of time.
Yeah, I can't work there.
But I do hear the other side of that argument. Mm-hmm. This is just the way we do things. This is how I want it. It ensures a level of consistency.
Right.
They will all cook the same. They will all behave the same.
Right.
Perform the same. Whatever. So, and you are my employee. I really don't want you questioning me on this forever.
Right.
If somebody asks once, why do we do it this way? Well, those are all the reasons I listed.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
But if they keep saying, just because they don't want to do it.
Right, exactly.
But it's a give and take. Is it? Does it make it better? That's a conversation worth having. And I understand as well, it's hard to discern which employees are the ones worth having that conversation with.
That is true.
Because again, let's just say 60% of people are dumb pieces of shit who don't know anything.
Yep.
Which I hate to say that about people, but if that's the argument, cool, let's run with it. Let's say that's the case, then 60% of those ideas pitched by employees will be bad. And if you're a business owner who has been any amount successful, wouldn't it make all the sense in the world to just get to a default place of, well, 60% of people are stupid. I've got a fairly good compass for what's good. So I will just shoot down these ideas pretty quick because I've achieved the success. I'm the owner.
Right. I'm at this point already. Yeah. No, I'm the one with the good ideas.
Yes.
That's why I own the business and you're working at my business.
Right.
No, I get that. But there's definitely those employees who will question you for bullshit reasons.
Yes.
Because they don't want to do it that way.
Right.
Because they enjoy doing their way better for whatever reason.
Yes.
I was like, but at a certain point, like you said, I am the employer. You are an employee.
Yes. I mean, devil's advocate for the employer, more accurately, the employee. I keep messing those up today. The employee, the one who works there, devil's advocate for them. Anytime I've not wanted to do something that's particularly tedious, it's because there's a mountain of tasks that I have to get done in a certain amount of time.
Right.
And this one is just taking up a lot of that time. Mm-hmm. But again, if I don't get these tasks done, I'm in trouble.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, okay, yes, I'm a failure. I can't do this exactly this way. Mm-hmm. But if we bend the rule a little bit, I can do it very fast this way.
Yeah.
I don't care. Do it my way. Well, fuck. Okay. This is a waste of my energy.
That is a really good point. Like, sometimes, like, look, boss, I can get this done.
Yep.
I need you to walk away.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I need you to leave.
I say that all the time. You standing above me, watching me, I hate it. I hate that so much. I try really hard. This I will show you. Mm. I will do it with you next to me. Mm. You will do it with me next to you. And then I will do it in the same room, but I'm away from you.
Right.
Those are the steps of me training you. And you will not reach step number two until you master step one of watching me do it.
Oh, it's...
It's, again, it really just comes down to you need to assume good intentions and understand how you're approaching a conversation.
Yeah.
If you just assume all of your employees are doing bad things to fuck you, or just because they're lazy, or because they're awful, like, what does that message, does that send to the people working for you? If you just are always walking around looking for how they're making mistakes.
Right. That's going to drop team morale, at the very least. And kind of point number two, like, are you not the person that hired these people?
Yeah. I mean, to some extent, that's not the owner's fault, the manager's fault. You can't predict what a person's like based on a conversation.
Sure.
You can't. You certainly can't based on their resume. I don't even know why we bother with resumes anymore.
I don't, especially after COVID.
Are you willing to be here?
Yes.
Are you willing to try?
Right.
If that's the case, then it's my job as your boss to get you there. When did it become a requirement to just walk into every job and just be able to do it 100% perfectly?
Don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, not at all.
It's never the whole you need experience before you work here thing.
Yeah.
Has never made sense.
No.
How do you get any job?
Yeah, if you always need experience, where am I supposed to get that experience from?
Right.
If there's no, if entry level positions need you to have 5 years of experience.
Experience, in my opinion, makes things worse. because everybody does things differently. Mm-hmm. It's, you all you're doing is bringing in somebody who's been taught 9 ways to do a thing. You're going to teach them the 10th way.
Right.
Why wouldn't you rather have a blank slate?
Yeah. Yeah, because that gets jumbled up sometimes.
The reason people are doing things different than your way is because they've been taught other ways to do things. And in their mind, those ways work better. Yeah. Or at least are more enjoyable.
At least they have some type of reference point. It's like, well, we did do it this way. This business was this amount of successful.
Sure.
So this kind of works.
Why is joy a bad thing? Why is it always, we're here to work, not play?
I know.
Quit screwing around. We're not here to have fun. I'm not here to make friends. Blah, blah. Like, why is that the mentality? I understand if you're searching for some level of, like, I'm a successful business person. Mm. Okay, I hear the argument. It's still stupid.
I don't hear the argument. People, if you're not having fun.
People who are joyous tend to do more things happily.
Right. And you're not... If I hear when you said about the trying to be successful, like the businessman, what I hear in there is, like, if you're happy at work, then you're not focused.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take joy in it. Again, it goes back to the Break All the Rules book. Mm. Like, you have to feel like you're a part of a team, like you're doing something that matters. You have to feel like you're valued.
I think team morale should be an important thing, and it feels like employers don't look at it as much.
Sure, certainly. I mean, I've always felt that work and play are pretty much the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Play is preparation. Play is an activity. It gets broken down to a lot of different categories. If it's like, if you do an activity by yourself, it's a puzzle. Or if you do it with some others, it's a game. If there's, you know, if you're competing with somebody, then it's a certain kind of game. If you're competing against yourself, but with other participants, it's a challenge, blah, blah, blah. It's all the same thing. We're just doing pretend things that prepare us for real dangers and don't have any actual consequences.
Yep.
An improv teacher once said to me, people go to see a play. They don't go see a work.
Right.
And I think that's 100% true, especially in a service industry. Mm. And people go to participate in a play for free. Very few people participate in hard physical work for free.
Yeah.
You can volunteer and pick up trash. You can also stop doing that anytime, and you're not doing it for 8 hours.
Right.
Nobody's working in a kitchen 8 hours for free unless they're staging, and that seems illegal.
Yeah, no, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, no kidding. Nothing better than being punished on a stage.
I do have a friend that was helping his mother establish her restaurant, or within a restaurant, and he was working for free. And the reason he was working for free was, one, he's working for his mother.
Right.
Which is some kind of understanding, but kind of messed upness there.
I can let that one slide because it happens.
Right, because it happens. you have that experience.
Yeah.
But he was also doing it so the, I guess, quote unquote, actual employees could get paid a better wage.
Sure.
Because they were still just starting out. And we want to be able to pay us, like, whatever the mom's making, son's going to get anyways.
Right. And I mean, if you're part of the family and this is like, I am participating in the business that my family owns, that is a very good way to behave because it's like, I'm taking care of my employees first. Yeah. Punishment feels like you just have no interest in your employees. Mm-hmm. If that's the only interaction is punishment, you're doing something wrong.
Yes. Yeah, like, how is everything I do wrong?
Again, having had employees work under me, I've had times where it's like, I just keep having to have issues with this guy.
Mm.
Let's figure that out. You've seen me on more than one occasion, somebody's like, hey, I have a problem with this. Mm. Like, oh, shit. Okay, well, I didn't know that. Let's talk about it right now.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, we're working together and it's fine.
Right. Yeah.
No issue.
No issue at all. And I think that is the best way to go about it because we've had those conversations.
Yeah.
You will be upset with something that I've done a couple of times.
Yep.
And then you'll take me to the side and it's like, okay, I don't understand. Like, is there a communication problem?
Yeah.
Am I not explaining what I need from you correctly, like properly?
Right.
How can I tell you what I need?
Right.
Like, tell me what you think I want you to do. Let's understand what this problem is.
You know why everyone hates the cops? Because they don't understand why people are getting arrested or jailed or harassed for things that don't make sense to be harassed for.
Right.
It's the same thing at work.
Mm.
All it does is breed resentment. If you want to create employees that want to fuck you over,
yes.
Punish them for no discernible reason consistently, yeah. Over and over again, daily.
Oh, yeah.
And have them live in a threat of that happening. You will have a team full of employees who just fucking hate you.
Right. Don't ask them for any types of favors.
Right.
And it's like, oh, can you work? Oh, such and such called off. Nope, I'm busy.
It's been proven that leadership in positions of, like, who operate with fear, as they better be feared or loved.
Yeah.
People who pick fear,
yes.
Are the least informed, the least in the know, and least able to control their organization.
Yeah.
That's just proven data.
And they're going to get backstabbed eventually.
Because everyone's afraid, oh, if I say the wrong thing, I'll get punished. If I do the wrong thing, I'll get punished. Mm-hmm. So you just stop trying as hard.
Yeah, exactly.
You're afraid to take initiative. You're afraid to innovate. So it makes it, you're literally hurting your business.
Yeah.
In every single way.
Yep. You only strive to do the bare minimum.
Right.
You don't strive to go above and beyond.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about why punishment is bad.
Yeah.
Where do you're somewhat a boss.
Yes.
Where do you think legitimate punishment comes into play?
In the workplace, to me, that's a hard thing to kind of establish. And I'm not very good at it. That's why I don't like being a boss.
To me, sorry, I don't mean to put it back on me.
No, please do.
To me, punishment is like, this is a fireable offense.
Okay.
But we're not going to fire you.
Gotcha.
We care about you. Mm-hmm. We want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. But this is, in fact, a fireable offense.
Gotcha.
There needs to be a corrective action taken because as a company, we just can't allow that.
Right.
But again, we care about you. We want you to succeed. So I'll tell you why this was unacceptable. I'll tell you what we can do to move forward. And we'll check in just to make sure that you're good.
Hmm.
Because even though you did something, quote unquote, wrong,
right.
I still want to value and appreciate you. Like, I want you to be here. I want you to be a part of this team.
Right. As indicated by the fact I didn't fire you for right. this fireable offense.
I know you stole something. I'm willing to give you another chance. But we're going to write you up, and we're going to do this, and we're going to blah, blah, blah. Oh, I know you were drunk the other day or something. Mm-hmm. Like, hammered ass drunk.
Right.
You can't, come on, man. You can't come in like that. Even that, to me, seems like just such an easy conversation.
Yeah.
Most conversations where punishment takes place can be resolved by, hey, man, come on, you know you're not supposed to do this shit.
Right. I believe, honestly, I like write-ups.
I hate write-ups, but do your thing.
I hate paperwork, but I think when used properly, like, let's say something happened, it's like, okay, I need to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
Like you just said, that should solve it.
Right.
You did something again, okay, I need to put it on file that you... This is a repeated behavior.
Yeah.
We might have to take action after that.
Yeah.
You know this. Me and you have sat down and discussed this.
Yep.
There is a paper trail.
Yeah.
So you can't say that, no, we didn't nothing.
Right.
There is proof.
Right.
And then something happens again. It's like, all right.
I'm fine. I'm personally, like, talking to, right up, fired. Those are the yes. order of operations. Yeah. That's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But in that order of operations, the first step you need to explain clearly.
Yes.
What this person did wrong.
Yep.
And you need to explain clearly that, hey, if this is just something that we need to work on, you're not going to be fired immediately if you're showing improvement.
Mm-hmm.
If someone breaks something, someone's clumsy, and they break things all the time.
Me.
I think it's perfectly acceptable to be like, yo, we need to work on you breaking shit, man. Mm-hmm. But it can't be the immediate next time they break one thing, right up, all right, and the next time you're fired.
Right, no.
It can't be like that. And that's typically how it seems to go.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
Because, like, let's say with breaking things, like, okay, maybe you shouldn't carry, you know, a tower of 50 tiny plates.
Right.
Like, maybe you should just do, like, 10. But if you... But even one might slip. Like, oh, what, my hands were wet or whatever. Right. And it's like, well, you need to stop breaking...
I mean, it's tricky. Again, devil's advocate.
Hmm.
In the modern world, what... You can't make someone run a mile.
Hmm.
You can't make someone, in my mind, you shouldn't make someone pay... for something they break, unless they do it every single day, 20 times a day, then right. it's like, oh, yeah. well, then just fire that person.
Yeah, just get rid of them.
They're clearly being an issue.
Yeah.
But, like, you really, it's really hard to, quote-unquote, punish someone in the modern world, especially, I mean, there's not really a lot of protection for the employers either in certain regards. You could get sued by an employee who... feels like you abuse them somehow.
That's very true.
So you kind of have been backed into a corner as well, where it's like, well, I can't punish you. You're just going to keep doing what I'm asking thing, you not yeah. to do. I'm just going to fire you. That will just become my default. Like, fuck it. If I can't manage my crew, well, screw it then. Whatever. I'll just only keep the good ones.
So with everything you just said there, like being potentially sued by an employee or an ex-employee.
Yes.
Right? That's why I like write-ups.
Yeah.
Let's say I write you up and I just fire you after, not like just fire you, but like you do something else and I have to fire you. You can't come back like, oh, he fired me because of my gender or my orientation or some other, like, nope, like I have... This is the problem that we were having.
I mean, the tricky part is he can say that.
Yes, he can say that.
You can easily just go in and be like, he's going to present a bunch of write-ups that say all these problems, but I have a bunch of people on my side who say I never did those things.
Like, would you sign the write-up?
Because I had to.
I guess, yeah.
Otherwise, I'd be fired. Mm. He's been threatening me this whole time with firing me. It's tricky.
It is a slippery, trickery slope.
Speaking of slippery, trickery slopes,
mm-hmm.
I think we need to transition into everyone's favorite time of the day. I think it's time for a Would You Rather.
Would you rather.
All right, what do you got for me today?
Would you rather, during a work shift, smell like garlic or fish?
Garlic.
Just flat out. Yep.
Here's
just...
why. One, so, there's a secret frosty remedy for when you're sick.
Uh-huh.
Basically, you take the juice of, like, two whole lemons, a little bit of green tea, a little bit of honey, a little bit of cayenne pepper, and, like, two or three emergencies.
Yeah.
You mix all that together into one, like, normal rocks glass, and then you take two or three cloves of whole garlic, chew them up just a little bit, and then chug the drink and swallow the garlic like pills.
Yep.
And it makes me stink like garlic, I'm well aware.
So you'd rather
continue. But if I'm sick, I don't care. I'm smelling like garlic. So I'm already used to smelling like garlic. Now, if I smell like fish...
And it's not like bad fish or anything.
But still, there's going to be...
Like a seafoody smell.
Any person who walks past me and smells like any amount of seafood, my immediate thought, if they're a guy...
Mm-hmm.
Is, well, they got pussy last night.
And that's a bad smell?
No. But it's just, I don't necessarily need to walk into work every day smelling like...
Yeah. Like you've just been...
Right.
You just got done in the car.
Because, like, garlic, you'd be like, wow, yeah, that's not a great smell to be working next to. But with fish, it's like, you again, you're going to have a talking to. You're going to be in trouble. You should shower.
As a person who also has smelled of garlic several times, my mother even let me know. It was like, oh, that's why you smell like that. Because you eat so much garlic.
Because you don't put salt on your food. You put garlic powder instead.
Exactly. So garlic was just permeating throughout my pores and whatnot. I still think I would rather smell like garlic.
Really?
Yeah.
As opposed to fish?
Yes.
Interesting. Why is that? Why not fish? What makes fish so bad?
It stings more, I feel like.
The nostrils?
Yeah, as a aroma.
Okay.
As aroma itself.
Fish is certainly much more noticeable.
Yeah.
If I walked down the street, not any street at all, and I smelled garlic, I'd probably just be like, it's garlic.
Right.
But if I was just walking down a suburban street and smelled fish, I'd be like, what?
And
is there a lake near here? What's going on?
Yeah, is there a lake? Like, oh, is there like an open fish market or something? I would be curious. And it does smell good.
Yeah.
Fish can smell very good. And again, I'm not talking like bad fish smell.
What did the blind man say when he walked past the fish market?
Woo! Hello, ladies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it would be a tough... the question I have, what kind of fish? Because like smoked salmon versus deep fried cod smell real different.
That's true. Would you take smoked salmon smell?
My father always kind of smells like fryer,
so
I know what it's like to live with a person who smells like that.
Right.
That's pretty okay.
Yeah.
Smoked salmon, I love the smell of smoke.
Right.
Like, I love making a fire or smoking salmon.
Right, but it's a distinct fishy smokiness.
See, again, I feel like I could make that work in my favor. Like, just out at a bar, and you're just like, you smell like smoked salmon. Like, oh, well, I own a smokery or whatever they're called.
I mean, this is distinctly during work.
Again, I mean, servers exist. You sound like salmon. Well, baby, I made some smoked salmon. You want to come over for breakfast tomorrow?
That wouldn't be the worst.
Smoked salmon with scrambled eggs and caramelized onions is amazing.
No, I meant the smell at work.
Yeah.
Yes, no, that wouldn't. Smoked salmon is delicious.
Because even if you make most smells can just lump into a general kitchen smell.
Yes.
But if you make fish, that you're right, it cuts through.
It cuts through.
It's sharp and aggressive, and it cuts through every other smell, and that's all you're getting. So, yeah, walking around. So if I leave work, will I just stop smelling like fish?
Basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If I go out for a smoke break, do I stop smelling like fish?
Or no, is it only
when
work.
When I'm on the clock?
Yeah.
As soon as I clock in, just poof.
Poof, yes.
Just a fishy, nasty aura.
Uh-huh.
So, again...
But again, if it's that smoked salmon smell, that's kind of a good smell.
I mean, yeah, it's funny that the fishiness of fish goes away if you do shit to it. But just, I'm thinking, when you asked me this question, yeah. I thought broiled whitefish.
Oh, just like the fishiest yep. of the fish.
And that, to me, I mean, it's making me sick right now, yeah, actually. No, I've eaten so much whitefish in my life. Just because it's so lean.
Yeah.
I hate broiled fish. God damn.
Yeah, no, that's just...
I'd rather eat... Ugh. Anything we've tried. I'd rather eat durian again than broiled fish right now.
Really?
Yeah. I do not love it. It's just not good. Even with tartar sauce, it's just not good. Fried or smoked. The only way to eat fish. And on that note, this has been Kitchen Open Late, but the kitchen is now closed, so get the fuck out.
Peace.